It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 17th day of April, 2024. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. This program is live. It is really Wednesday, prayer meeting Wednesday, the 17th of April, 2024. Hi, I'm Robin. And if you pop on over to the to HeadOn.live, you can participate in the Merry Wacky Zany Real-Time Madcap Multimedia Extravaganza. That is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the Great Globe Round. And where if you do pop into the aforementioned Merry Wacky Zany, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers. That's Anatole and Ralphs and Squeaky and Theo, and Brain is just leaving. If someone will please zap him. Thank you. And, well, a good time will be had by all. If you're a listener to the podcast, a member of the community on the podcast side of things, please be so kind as to like each episode. Subscribe on a couple of platforms. In fact, I've heard from a couple of people that for reasons known but to, I don't know, somebody in corporate, podcasts aren't showing up over at Apple Podcasts in some instances. So I don't know where that comes from or why that's happening, but that's why I say it's always good to subscribe on a couple of platforms, because even if one screws up, the other one probably won't. Anyway, thanks for doing that. Leave a comment, please, a review. That helps build the visibility of the program so other people can join in this conversation of goodwill among progressives, liberals, decent human beings, you know. Right. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, so I have 3 days worth of thank yous. Because of, the way this week has shaken out. So, thanks go out to our 17th, 16th, and 15th day of the month contributors via PayPal and elsewhere. Starting working backwards, thank you to Gary Laborman in New Mexico. Thank you to Zed in Iowa. Thank you so much. Thank you to Mark. And thank you to Reinhardt on the Virginia coast. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you, Robert. Again, thank you, Ralphs. Thank you, Matt in San Francisco. Thank you to a kind anonymous internet friend who did have a show on me. And thank you one and all for helping to keep this program on the air. What that means is I wasn't planning on being here on Monday. That was baked in. I had planned, however, on being here yesterday and got here in plenty of time. Had a beautiful day for a drive. When you're down in that neck of the woods, there's nothing like when you pop onto I-74 eastbound and you begin to see Pilot Mountain in the distance. I checked in with Miss Terry because she is a professional geologist, and I said, how on earth? Because honestly, Pilot Mountain in northwest North Carolina looks like something straight out of The Hobbit. It's just there, coming up out of a relatively rolling plain, and you take one look at it and go, I feel really confident there's a dragon under there sitting on his hoard. But it's gorgeous. I saw that and it's like, ooh, getting closer. It was a beautiful drive. It's about, once you factor in taking breaks, it's about a 5-hour drive. And so I left immediately after my appointment on Tuesday morning, hit the road, and was pretty consistently on the road. Busy highway. You know, I got to point out, I want to thank all the people in California and Oregon and Washington and Illinois and Minnesota and New York and Connecticut and Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Vermont, Pennsylvania, and Maryland, Delaware, for building such beautiful freaking roads down in the Welfare Confederacy. Because, I mean, it's amazing. You drive down into the Welfare Confederacy, and there's some of the newest, most modern, most well-built roads that there is no way those welfare states could ever afford to build on their own. And I just want to say that I see you, and I thank you, and I appreciate you, because, well, the non-taker states have done a fantastic job building transportation infrastructure in the taker states. Taker states, Quaker states. Don't try this at home. And meanwhile, y'all's roads go to hell. I mean, driving around certain parts of Pennsylvania, you feel like you're driving on gravel road. But, Lord, they were road building and interstate making for all they were worth in North Carolina. But anyway, that's kind of ancillary to what I was saying. I left yesterday and had a beautiful drive all the way back. Some parts of the drive I was able to bury my foot in the accelerator. And, you know, cruise on up the road at 85 miles an hour or so. Other places I had to slow down to 60. And had one thing happen that was a little bit, so I tanked up the day before so I wouldn't have to fool around with that. And I got almost to I-77 out along the Mount Airy area. And bear in mind, before I left, I had my oil changed. I like to change my oil before a nice long drive. And lo and behold, the change engine oil soon light came on, which shouldn't have come on because the engine oil had already been changed. So I got to sort that out. No idea. No clue. But at any rate, I had beautiful driving weather. Got to within, 30 minutes of home. And every cloud in central Appalachia gathered to greet me. And so I actually pulled into the driveway in a massive thunderstorm. complete with hail, got pelted running from the car to the house, opened the door and realized, ha, there was no electricity and no internet. But fear not, both came on and back on in fairly short order, blinked a little bit, and then I went to start the program. And the fab machine had no internet connection. And I looked all over and ran speed tests, and it seemed to be the production machine issue. That's when I called dear and trusty Micah. And she got out on the ledge with me, held my little hand, and walked me through, and lo and behold, in a matter of minutes, we had it solved. Of course, this was just a few minutes before 7, so it was too late to get on the air. But thank you, Micah, if you're listening, and, well, even if you're not, thank you. You're why we're here today. So just to get everything caught up, thank you for the kind words, Matt, in San Francisco. That's really sweet. I hope your trip was great and you heard everything you wanted to hear at your consult. You just ran through my mind, girl. Nice kitten heels.
Meow.
Thank you, Matt. In point of fact, it was wonderful. I had never been to Durham, and I have to say that as much as I hate them in basketball, Duke is one of the most beautiful campuses I've ever been on. It's like a university in a park. Absolutely, you know, with the Gothic towers and spires and stuff. I mean, it's exquisite. And I had a wonderful little chance meeting conversation at dinner Monday night, and we had a wonderful time. Perfect strangers. We just chatted and laughed and carried on. And then as far as the consult on Tuesday morning, I feel like I made a really great choice. She was super knowledgeable. Her expertise was obvious. She answered every question. Asked me what I wanted, and then told me what she thought she could do and what she thought would be most effective. And so I said, let's schedule it. So it looks like I'm getting a new face for Christmas. She's booked way out, and I said, it's really important to me to try to get in December because of, you know, insurance stuff. And so I'm waiting to hear. I have to go and get a reconstructive CT of my head so that she can do all the modeling for everything she thinks she was going to do. It's a long way out, and it's not carved in stone yet, but I'll be gone for about a week and a couple of days during the Christmas season. I should be able to be, I'd probably even take the rig with me and be able to do a couple of broadcasts here and there. But for the day of surgery and the next couple of days afterward, I'm not going to be doing any talking. I'm going to look like I was in a bar fight. And so I have to stay down there for about a week to get the staples out of my head and the bolts out of my neck. Kidding about the bolts. And then let the healing begin. This is so exciting. And my surgeon was so affirming. We looked at pictures from the before time, and she said, my heavens, the changes that just HRT have wrought are amazing. I said, yeah, but it doesn't change bone. And she said, no, it does not. That's what I'm here for.
So without getting into too much detail, she's going to take the front of my skull off. She's going to peel my face, take the front of my skull off, take a Dremel to it, and take that down a little bit to take the bulge out of my forehead, bolt it back on. I joked about the fact that according to 23andMe, I have more Neanderthal genetic material than about 88% of humanity. I said, and that explains the brow ridge. She said, it might very well. And so we will, she'll take that off and sand it down and bolt it back on. And open up my eyes. Trim down my lantern jaw. Reshape my chin. And all told, I mean, it's kind of mind-blowing. All told, I think I'll be on the table for around 10 hours. Of course, it won't matter to me. Because I'll be out. It's one of those things about anesthesia. It's like a foretaste of eternity. 1 minute you're hat, and the next minute you're bonk. Well, thank you, Irish Dave. Not carved in stone. Nice wordplay. Thank you, Dave. So that's what my December is going to look like. Emilio says, kidding about the bolts. Of course, duh, they use rivets now. Zip! Yeah, and an impact wrench. Thanks for that, Randy Radar. There are devices that plug into your car's computer that, along with your smartphone, can diagnose your car's error code so that you don't overpay at the repair shop. Yeah. This wasn't an error code. It was just change your oil soon. And it's like, did the boys at Wally World fuck up? I don't know. But that's another thing to add to my life of indolent boredom that I can take care of. I'm really encouraged by what happened yesterday at the doctor's office. Not so encouraged about the tech screw-ups. Emilio, don't start. Howdy, AI Robin says what? Yeah, Ralph says, oh my, longer than your transition surgery. Yeah. She did tell me that she is an aggressive pain manager. She said, I don't want you to have pain. I just want, but you will have discomfort. But she said, we'll manage it. And I told her the biggest problem I had coming out of my previous surgery, and she said, oh, well, I'm sorry you were in pain. I said, oh, it was horrible. She said, yeah, but now that we know that, I can give you medication on the table that'll keep that from happening. And, well, you'll wake up with a smile. No, you won't wake up with a smile on your face. You won't be able to do much of that, but she said, you're going to wake up happy. So, and it's actually three stages. The stage after that does one more thing, and then there's one more thing that's stage three that might be part of stage two. And I wind up maybe with a little Tinkerbell nose, which I would love. So that was yesterday until the hail and the rain and the storming and the winds and everything. But it didn't do that today. And tomorrow's going to be beautiful, so fingers crossed for three good days of broadcasting for this week. April sucks. It really has just absolutely stunk on wheels. Let's counting this program. Let's see, 1, 5. We have 10 more days of broadcasting. And so hopefully we'll stay caught up and we can knock down some of what's left over. Again, I haven't included any of the absent days in the fundraising goal. Thanks so much to those of you who helped make that trip possible. It was terribly, terribly important, and I wouldn't have done it if it wasn't essential to my being. Randy Radar says, if I were in your position, I wouldn't be looking for surgery. I'd be looking for bug-out money. Bug out to where? The thing is, the more of this that I do, the more I can just quietly live as the woman I am right here. And that's another thing. I was down in a deeply anti-trans state. Never got clocked. Never got misgendered. Passed perfectly. And that is just pure euphoria. By the way, to get us started, Ralph's put a challenge on the table. It's the Donnie's trial challenge. And so Ralph said, I'm making a $25 challenge for Donnie's first criminal trial. Thank you, Ralphs. And so Ralphs will happily match the first $25 that comes in, and that'll get us down to $5.50, and that's really super helpful. Thank you, Ralphs. You know, there are always stories within stories within stories. I sat and Monday I didn't have anything to really do. I went and found my doctor's office so I wouldn't be flailing around with the GPS trying to get there on a busy Tuesday morning. And had the aforementioned lovely, unplanned meeting of new friends. When all was said and done, they said, well, you have to message us when you're having your surgery, and we'll come up and hang out with you and make sure everything's okay. And I thought that was just so sweet. Just as sweet as could be. Comments at Apple Podcasts. Steve in New York says, is there a way to leave more than one? I've tried, but it seems it only lets a person update the comment. That, I have no idea. That's strange. You can comment to your heart's content at Podbean. Podcast Republic is easy. So is Odyssey. And if you go to the main page there, all those podcast platforms are listed there due to the kindly efforts of Brother Deacon Asa. Thank you, Brother Deacon. Let's see, what else? Cynthia, out in the Bay Area, says, do the people in the welfare states realize who's paying for their roads? Who do they think pays for their roads? Or perhaps a better question, do they even think? That last one is the real, that's the real doozy. That do they, but no, they are conservative, and that means that they are rugged individualists, and they pull themselves up by their own bootstrapses, and they don't need no help from no federal government, even though every one of those states would be in full-on collapse without it. And it's so wild, you know, when I travel to a place like that, I feel like I'm moving through history, almost time traveling. I mean, the Duke campus, the Duke Medical Center, all those Duke things, they're in the heart of R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company, whose two primary brands are named after the sister towns, sister cities, Winston and Salem. And I looked at that fantastic healthcare center and I said, well, I guess it makes sense that Duke would have a healthcare center like this. It would be so good, among other things, at treating cancer because they caused so much of it. It's kind of like driving around in the coal fields and realizing that the energy infrastructure of this country was built on the backs of miners who, for all intents and purposes, were murdered by coal companies. You know, in the coal country of Central Appalachia, there's been over 100,000 people dead in 100 years. Digging out the wealth and the power for the rest of the country. I do confess that while I was in Durham, hopeless romantic that I am, I checked the Durham Bulls baseball schedule now that it's spring. They were on the road playing up in Massachusetts. I say that just for fun. I know. I can say the word. But they were, otherwise, if they'd been in town Monday night, I would have been sitting in the stands with a hot dog, because minor league ball is one of the best professional sports bargains in the country, and you get to watch some darn good baseball. And, well, I well remember back in the, oh, God, what was it, 1987 or so? Going to see the movie with Kevin Costner and Susan Sarandon, and just loving every second of that. And by the way, I thought of Ron and Raleigh. Wasn't that far from Ron. I walked into a Harris Teeter because I was desperately in need of a cup of decent decaf. No, those are not mutually exclusive terms. Stop it. Don't even. They do got some bougie grocery stores out down there. But I also found out that their Krispy Kreme bakery never turns its Hot Now sign on, so damn. And I figured something else out, even though it's in the South, even though it's directly to the east of Tennessee. There are apparently no crystals. Because I was thinking that'd be a real good on-the-road bargain. You know, those little square steamed hamburgers with the pickle and the onions and the mustard and the cheese, and they're heavenly. No. No, none of those. Coming back, I crossed out of North Carolina into Virginia in Carroll County, Virginia, and that's where you first crossed the New River, which of course continues flowing just a couple of miles from my old and ramshackle mansion, broke down palace, cracker box palace, whatever. But I thought about my great-grandfather, who, along with his brother, sometime after 1880, decided to go walkabout. And they took off and they followed the New River out of Carroll County and followed it until they got to here. And this is where Ozias Goad stopped and got a parcel of land and began to farm. And my grandmother called him Poppy, and he called her Idy. His brother went on up to Sutton, West Virginia, and became the high sheriff, and then eventually a member of the West Virginia State Senate. But that little bit of connectivity is always precious to me. No, Flavio, you're not listening to an old program. I gave the date of the program at the very beginning and announced that this program is live. What would make you think this is an old program? It's not like I drive to Durham, North Carolina every year. In fact, this is the first time I've ever driven to Durham, North Carolina. Oh, and Stephen, New York says, how did that happen? Stephen, New York says, don't forget small moment, small gummit conservatives. Yeah, small gummits can't build big roads. Small gummits can't do much of nothing. And, of course, if you're a small gummit conservative, that's exactly what you want that small gummit to do. Nothing. And speaking of small gummit conservatives, we got plenty of stuff to go into this evening on that topic. Amelia says, who do they think pays for their roads? Jesus! Boom! There you go! Free roads! Yea, verily. What's that, Brother Deacon? Piss on you, Kincaid. I was planning on putting together my first vittle of the day before you took a Dremel to your face. Hashtag with friends like these. You just power past it, Brother Deacon. Oh, and Ralphs has a link for you, Steve. SparkHealthyRunner.com, how to leave a review on Apple Podcasts 2021. That might provide some help. Oh, and Cynthia, adding to her previous message, says, yes, indeed, you'll be swollen. I can't believe just how swollen I was when I had my chin taken down. My neck was like my thigh, no chin, no neck, just swollen flesh going down to my chest. And yes, I sure needed the Percocet afterwards. I have no doubt you will be thrilled with the result, though. Thank you, Cynthia. I can't wait. And then that gives me, you know, new year, new face. Same spirit. I didn't know you'd had work on your face, Cynthia. Thank you. As usual, a little bit of help. You always provide help on the front end so that I know what I can be expecting. So all told, this is going to be the year of Roxanne finishes her surgeries. I'm so excited. I'm just so excited. Now, just to get into the swing of things this evening, I mentioned those small government conservatives. Well, let's check in. No, Randy, I could not have flown out of Beckley Airport to Raleigh-Durham Airport. There are no flights from Beckley to Raleigh-Durham. At best, I would have had to fly from Beckley to Dulles, probably catch the train over to National Airport, and then gotten on a plane to Charlotte, and maybe a crop duster from Charlotte to, you can see why that didn't work. And it would have been monumentally more expensive. Now, small government conservatives, let's go to Talabama and Governor Hee-Haw Meemaw down there. She's joined up with five other welfare Confederacy governors, namely Brian Kemp over in Georgia, reminding us once again that he's no hero. He's just another damn Republican. Colonel Governor Tate Reeves of Mizzoupistan. And the man that David in South Carolina stan refers to as McGovernor, Henry McMaster, there in South Carolina stan. And Bill Lee of Tennessee. And Governor Greg Wheely Asbot of Texas. And the reason they got together, these welfare queens, was to voice their profound objection that the new United Auto Workers are going to come into their states like Tennessee, where there's going to be a vote on unionizing the Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga. And where the Mercedes-Benz plant in Tuscaloosa, we will very well, very likely face a union vote. And they issued a joint statement. They had a joint and issued a statement. And all you got to do is read it and you realize just how high they were. Whoo, nobody despises working people. Like a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian Southern Republican. In fact, they said they are highly concerned about the unionization campaign driven by misinformation and scare tactics that the UAW has brought into our states. And since the National Labor Relations Act prevents the companies from saying this, they carried water for the company saying, well, they may up and leave our states if there's a union. Well, they're free to do that. It's a free market, Governor Hee-Haw Meemaw. And Bull Lee of Tennistan. And Tink Reeves down there of the 69th Fighting Confederate Army, the platoon of Confederate musketeers in Muzuppistan. And they went on and said, as governors, we have a responsibility to our people to speak up when we see special interests looking to come into our state and threaten our jobs and the values we live by. Shit. I'm pretty sure they pulled that out of one of George Wallace's speeches about outside agitators coming down here to make our black folks all uppity and think they can vote and whatnot. Tigers never change their stripes, and neither do skunks. Mm-hmm. As governors, we did that part, yeah. Because, see, when they say the values that we live by, they mean the values that they live by. Sucking up to the corporations and doing everything they can to make sure that the working people don't get all uppity and start acting and thinking like they're somebody. And all of this is because, God bless Sean Fain, he is such a badass. The UAW has said flat out, and it has occasioned the case of the Fantods and the Turtle Squirts among those aforementioned governors, that they're going to spend $40 million over the next 2 years to organizing auto plants that don't have unions. And of course, there's a great deal of hypocrisy involved on the part of Mercedes-Benz, among others, because Mercedes-Benz workers in Germany have a strong union. They have a union that actually has a union member on the board of Mercedes-Benz. Meanwhile, people toiling away for low wages in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, have no representation whatsoever. Previously, the unions had said they were going to stay out of it and leave it to the workers to decide, and that's when the Maggot Party, which is no different from the old Republican Party, which is no different from the Teabaggers, which is no different from the John Birchers and the Klan, swung into motion to make sure that if the company wouldn't engage in anti-union activities, them governors, by God, would. Honestly, it would serve Governor Hee-Haw Meemaw right if Kia and Hyundai and Mercedes-Benz just pulled up stakes and went somewhere else. And then the UAW can follow them and organize there. Oh, I have no doubt that Governor Hee-Haw Meemaw longs for the faraway days when governors could order out the National Guard armed to the teeth with machine guns and threaten working people to get back into the plant and get back to work for next to nothing. But the bottom line is the UAW is not going to just throw $40 million down a rat hole. And they're not, and we know from the quotes from these maggot governors just exactly what it is they're scared of. In America, we respect our workforce, and we do not need to pay a third party to tell us who can pick up a box or flip a switch. And that's what the company bosses are there for. They went on and blathered. The experience in our states is when employees have a direct relationship with their employers, that makes for a more positive working environment. They can advocate for themselves and what is important to them without outside influence. This is the same thing as saying, listen, we've been living side by side with them for hundreds of years, and if they want to vote, they can talk to us and we'll tell them no. I'm not saying the two issues are in any way equivalent, but while history does not rhyme, or while history does not repeat, it does often rhyme. The UAW's come in making big promises to our constituents that they can't deliver on. Imagine that. These are five governors of five states, and not one of them had anybody on staff who knew not to end that sentence with the word on. The UAW has come in making big promises to our constituents that they can't deliver on. Governor Hee-Haw Meemaw, that education degree you got from Auburn University ain't serving you too well, honey. And we have serious reservations that the UAW leadership can represent our values. Well, honey, the UAW isn't coming in to Alabama to represent you, Hee-Haw Meemaw, or you, Governor Tank Reeves in Mississippi Stan, or you, Greg Assbot, or you, Brian Kemp, or you, Bullshit Lee, or you, McGovernor. They're coming into represent working people and negotiate for good wages and good benefits and safe working conditions. Of course, none of those things matter to those five welfare queens. No, not at all. Natural says they could use a little more union at Boeing. God, Boeing's such a hot mess. That was inspiring testimony on Capitol Hill today in the Senate that the 787 Boeing runs a risk of stress fatigue and stress fractures, that the plane might just fall apart in midair. And Randy Radar, you wonder why I didn't fly to Raleigh Durham. And anti-unionization, Stephen New York says, let's realize exactly what these cracker governors are saying. Unionization is a purely democratic process. If the majority votes in favor of a union, there's a union. These governors don't have a problem with unions as much as they have a problem with democracy. Spot on. Absolutely. And, of course, the South has always had a problem with democracy. They went on and carped and complained, these governors did, that the UAW is more focused on helping President Biden get reelected than on the auto worker jobs being cut at plants they already represent. That's a lie. And Governor Hee-Haw Meemaw went to X and posted an excrement all about it. Governor Hee-Haw Meemaw is scared spitless because her owners don't want no union. And back in January, she said, the UAW is going to destroy Alabama's model for economic success. Economic success. By the way, yeah. And by the way, I'm pretty sure that workers at Hyundai in South Korea and Kia, I feel pretty sure certain that they've got unions. And I can't help wondering if there's any sort of parallel relationship as to the success of these efforts. If there's a parallel relationship between being a maggot and voting against the union. I guess we'll find out. I think a supermajority of workers at Mercedes-Benz in Tuscaloosa have signed union cards. I think the same is also true in Chattanooga. And I just can't understand the mindset that says we want people to be desperate at their jobs. I mean, right now, if I had a pile of cash sitting in my lap, or a bank, probably better off a bank, notwithstanding the fact that the treasurer of the state of West Virginia wants to keep our investment monies in the mattress. That's on him. Actually, it's under him. But I can't help wondering if Alabama's economy really would collapse if people had representation in the workplace. If they could bargain collectively with management, just like management bargains collectively against individual workers. And like I said, if I had that pile of money, I can tell you 3 cars I would not purchase. 4. 5. If it was made by non-union labor here in the United States of America, I would not purchase a Mercedes-Benz. I would not purchase a Kia or a Hyundai, even though I like the Hyundais. I love that Santa Cruz. And I would not purchase a Volkswagen, nor would I purchase a BMW. Nor would I purchase a Tesla. But they're not in this mix. Well, they kind of are, aren't they? Taxes. Yeah. Because I don't want to run the risk of purchasing, spending all that money on an automobile that was put together by somebody who's wondering if they're going to have a roof over their heads next month or be able to feed their children or pay for prescriptions or hell, groceries. Because that's the way the pay scales are at these non-union joints. Randy Radar said, I believe that half the boards by law in Germany are workers. Wouldn't that be nice? Randy Radar says, oh, I would have thought it would have been a prop plane. Okay, the llama... by the way, Hedy Lamarr was doing wonderfully until I got an email last week over the weekend suggesting, and I'm sorry I don't have your name in front of me here, suggesting a name for the llama, and she is looking down at us even as we speak. Name the llama Rama. explaining that every time it was time to give one out, that it would be a Rama Lama Ding Dong. Had to make sure that I got that in there. So I think her name's Rama. Although that may be offensive to practitioners of a certain faith. Because I think today's Rama's birthday? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we can change in and out. She can be Hedy Lama one day. Rama Lama with her ding dong. And the next. Thanks to everybody who sent in ideas. Oh dear, have I run afoul of them? The Keebler Elves, from whom you sublet, as well as our new client, the Union of the Sisterhood of Orcs and the Brotherhood of Orcs. Let's just call it the Siblinghood of Orcs, shall we? Dear Ms. Kincaid, please be advised that while, of course, my clients celebrate your personal advancements, nonetheless, your lease recognizes no force majeure, and you're still obligated regarding the quantity of obligatory Star Trek references. Your recent spotty, indeed frequently unannounced attendance is ever so reminiscent of your grade school behavior. Signed, Sage Todd, Managing Partner, the John Wayne Law Group, with offices in New York, not Queens, Tokyo, Beckley, Paris, San Francisco, Los Angeles, London, Berlin, Beijing, Colorado Springs, New Delhi, and Riyadh, C.C. Flavio. Oh, my God. Oh, they're the bane and torment of me life. Oh, okay. Cynthia said, yes, I had a little work done. Just my chin and my Adam's apple, which I had trimmed down to nothing. I'd have liked a nose job, too, but never got that done. Oh, well, I was lucky in not having all that bossing above my eyebrows. My Frankenstein chin more than made up for that, though. She did tell me that my chin is well-proportioned, but that she's going to trim it down and give it a more downward tilt as opposed to the upward tilt that it has now. Although, over the last 3.5 years, my Kirk Douglas dimple has receded. Kirk Douglas! Has receded significantly. I'm pretty sure it wasn't a Frankenstein chin, Cynthia. We tend to see things through a glass darkly. And there's Vox coming across my feed right now. Pursuant to what Natural said in the chat room, Boeing's problems were as bad as you thought. Experts and whistleblowers testified before Congress today. The upshot, and is anyone surprised? It was all about Monday, or money, money. Vox noting, these hearings convened just 4 months after a door plug blew out of a Boeing-made Alaska Airlines plane mid-flight in January, sparking further concerns about a precipitous downslide in Boeing's reputation for safety and quality. The Senate Commerce Committee had the first hearing today, and they questioned aviation experts who put together a report published in February by the FAA that the company hadn't made enough of an effort in remedying its safety culture since the 737 MAX crashes of 2018 and 19 that killed 346 people. One witness, Javier De Luis, an aerospace engineer and lecturer at MIT, said there exists a disconnect, for lack of a better word, between the words that are being said by Boeing management and what is being seen and experienced by employees across the company. And then came the second hearing where two whistleblowers, Boeing quality engineer Sam Salapur and former Boeing engineer Ed Pearson, along with FAA engineer Joe Jacobson and Ohio State University aviation professor Sean Prochnicki, said that Boeing knows and knew about defective parts and chose to ignore and even conceal them. And said that the problems would slow production, and be expensive to fix. And people both inside and outside of Boeing said, well, it didn't really matter because Boeing's purpose was maximizing profits for shareholders. Oh, those pesky shareholders. In particular, Sam Salapur said he went right up the chain of command trying to tell them about his fears. He wrote many memos time after time, but he was ignored, and they punished him for bringing them up. Quote, I was sidelined. I was told to shut up. I received physical threats. My boss said, I would have killed someone who said what you said in the meeting. And apparently whistleblowing, being a whistleblower, is a significant minority inside Boeing. And when that many people begin to, you know, shout from the rooftops, it's probably a good idea. Professor Pruchnicki from The Ohio State University said that crummy software contributed to the 737 MAX crashes. And he said that Boeing snuck the system through the certification process. It was all about money. That's why those people died. And Boeing, meanwhile, says, well, we're cooperating fully. We're rounding up twice the number of usual suspects. And then Ed Pearson said, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. This is a criminal cover-up. Records do, in fact, exist. I know this because I've personally passed them to the FBI. Oh, this is ugly. And really, there's no way of knowing what will come of all of this, but I don't know. Do I feel better about getting on an Airbus? Thank you so much, Charlie. Charlie just jumped in and met Ralph's challenge. Thank you so much. And then some. So let's see, we're down to 550. And we're down to 535 to go to get caught up, notwithstanding all the weather. And listen, all right, you there at the John Wayne Law Group, understand that there is an act of God clause in our contract. I mean, how would you feel if the old holler tree got struck by a lightning bolt and I came in and said that there's no force majeure for that, while your pettifoggers were cranking out act of God letters? Sue God for my absences. Dang it. There they are organizing the orcs. What's next? The Amalgamated Association of Balrogs? Wouldn't surprise me in the least. But thank you, Charlie. So, 5:35, we can get all caught up with today and last Friday if we just keep it rolling. Oh, my. Cynthia says, yes, I had a Frankenstein chin.
Fire bad.
Even the orthodontist I went to before I ever came out to anyone, let alone him, recommended I get it trimmed down. It was lopsided and crooked and made me look like a caricature of a guy. It was bad. And I'll tell you, this is life. After yesterday, I've been having, and I don't make a lot of noise about it, but I've been dealing with some rather significant instances of gender dysphoria relating to my face. And I've even had some really nasty, spirally days where you just kind of want to sit in the dark, eat chocolate. But this morning, I saw myself in the mirror and I was like, you're okay. You're going to be all right. And that was a wonderful feeling. the generalized gender dysphoria that was just kind of all over me like poison ivy a few years ago, that's gone. Now it's whack-a-mole. And hopefully, based on what I felt this morning, we're going to knock that shit out of the park. And I look forward to the day when I don't have anything, I don't have anything to hate myself for. Oh my, says Ralphs. Rama, the llama. Yeah, see, it works, doesn't it? Rama, llama, ding dong, yeah. Randy Radar says, one of the whistleblowers at Boeing actually committed suicide. I know. And they should have carried the body to the CEO's front step and say, you deal with it. Randy Radar says, brooding is no good. FaceTime somebody. It doesn't work like that. It just really doesn't. Okay, see, there's the answer to my question. Flavio says, Airbus versus Boeing. Pretty much all of Airbus is unionized, only one-third at Boeing. And there's why I won't buy a Mercedes-Benz made in Alabama, a Kia, or a Hyundai made in Alabama, or a BMW made in South Carolina stand, or a Volkswagen made in South Carolina, or Tennistan, nor a Tesla, or anything else made in Texas. Union membership matters. I don't know anything about that. Randy Radar says, I don't think that VW made their customers whole after the emissions cheating scandal. We don't need anyone to teach us how to push boxes or flip a switch. Emilio says, followed by, hey, Ralph, what's with that box? And how do I work this here switch? Don't flip that switch. Oh, no. And since I mentioned Tesla, thanks, Flavio. I heard about this earlier this morning. Tesla asks shareholders to restore $56 billion Elon Musk pay package that was voided by Delaware judge. I would dearly love to see someone try to explain how one miserable human being is worth $56 billion a year. The Delaware judge had, in fact, eliminated the $56 billion pay package. And even though Tesla, which is another way of saying Leon scum, it says they want him to have it, well, the fact of the matter is, Tesla is not having the best of times right now. Their global sales are falling. The demand for their vehicles is doing the same. Their model lineup is old and not much changed, except for that really hideous so-called truck. And they've lost 37% of their share value this year. Shareholders are going to be asked to reinstate it at a meeting on June 13th. It was supposed to be $56 billion over 10 years, so that's $5.6 billion a year, and he's still not worth that. And it was rubbed out by Chancellor Kathleen St. Jude McCormick, who said he's not entitled to that kind of stock compensation, and she voided the whole pay package and said that Leon Scum essentially owns the board and makes the compensation process fundamentally unfair to stakeholders. In a ruling, she said Musk had extensive ties with persons tasked with negotiating on Tesla's behalf. Basically, Leon Scum was negotiating with himself. You sure do work hard there, Leon. I know, but someone has to do it. How about $56 billion? Well, if you insist. Huh. So Tesla says they're, this is hilarious. Board Chairman Robin Denholm. Oh, Robin. You're not doing any good for the name. Yeah, Robin Denholm said that because the Delaware court second-guessed your decision, Elon, Robin Denholm calls him Elon, he must be Robin's buddy. Elon has not been paid for any of his work for Tesla for the past 6 years that has helped to generate significant growth and stockholder value. That strikes us, that means Robin and the mouse in Robin's pocket. You see, I don't know Robin's gender, so I'm trying to avoid the deadly pronoun. That, but use really the third person plural. That strikes us and the many stockholders from whom we already have heard as fundamentally unfair and inconsistent with the will of the stockholders who voted for it. You know, the stockholders that Leon Scum told to vote for it. Imagine that. Poor Leon Scum, unpaid for 6 years. How's he ever going to finish building his beach house on Mars? I think I might cry. Poor little fella. Poor little bigot. Poor little homophobe. Poor little transphobe. Maybe he could borrow some billions. Pardon me, Joanne Rowling. Can I borrow some billions from you? I hate the transes, too. Well, here, honey. You know, this is that Star Trek thing again. Pay attention, you little... What does God need with a starship? What does any human being on planet Earth need with $56 billion? Think about what those billions of dollars could do if they were really working. And not just satisfying the overblown and overinflated monumental pathological ego of a creep. And how is it... Volkswagen. Hey, Ron. That was a mighty nice Harris Teeter I was in. I didn't see any of the other bougie grocery stores that you've referenced. Ron in Raleigh says, Volkswagen, VW did in fact make the emission scandal folks whole. My friend got a buyback on his diesel Golf. How about that? Okay, well, good deal. Thanks for that, Ron. Randy Radar pointing out there's no passenger car that's worth $70,000, and there's no CEO that's worth $3 million a year. No. I share the opinion that the presence of billionaires in the economy of something calling itself a democracy is an offense, a stench unto the nostrils of the universe itself. And if Leon Scum gets much worse... he may as well start publishing the Dearborn Independent again. Racist, transphobe, xenophobe, bigot. Oh, okay. Well, I assure. I'm assuming. Thank you for the photo, Flavio. I'm assuming Robin Denholm is she, her. I really want to give her. I really want to haul out that John Candy quote from. Which movie was it? The Uncle Buck. I want to flip Robin Denholm a quarter and say, here's a quarter. Go downtown and pay some rat to gnaw that thing off your face. Because Robin Denholm has to be an ugly, ugly person. I'm not talking about physical appearance. I'm talking about her spirit. Because if she thinks that any human being is worth a 10-year, $56 billion compensation package, that means she is ignoring the needs of all the people whose lives could be helped with that $56 billion. They could hire real talent at Tesla. Maybe redesign some vehicles. As I left on Sunday, I stopped at the Starbucks down in Princeton, West Virginia. And there are 10 Tesla charging banks there. It's probably a good call because I-77 is a major artery for people traveling down to, like, Myrtle Beach, Hilton Head, the likes. Thanks for that, Flavio. We are into the second hour of the program. Funny, Natural says he can get a loan from Bezos. Ah, yes, the Dick Rocket twins. Still waiting for Leon Scum to gin up the courage to get on one of his own Dick Rockets. And like I said, second hour of the program, wasn't here Monday and Tuesday. So I didn't get to cover the issue of the attack by Iran on Israel. But I did get to watch the coverage along the way and the degree of amnesia involved on the part of the multimillionaire for-profit media was quite stunning, really. And the mendacity involved in trying to tie Iran to October 7th in Israel was transparently false. Because you may recall in the immediate aftermath of October the 7th, Iran went, hey, we didn't have shit to do with this. Nobody said anything to us about this. We were totally in the dark, and we do not accept responsibility for it, and we're not real happy about it. But nonetheless, on the first day of April, Israel launched a massive attack on the consulate, the Iranian consulate in Damascus, demolished it, and killed 7 human beings. And the multimillionaire for-profit media, which is so up to speed, they've got so much expertise and foreign policy experts and the like, nobody seemed capable of mentioning the fact that Iran. And believe you me, I have no sympathy for the beards over there. God, they're disgusting. They have to hold on to power. And when the country gets attacked, even people that hate the mullahs see an attack on Iran as an attack on them. And God knows if we decide, or Israel in particular, decides to slam cruise missiles or rockets or drones or anything, killer suicide kamikaze drones, anything, Well, they're not going to kill the mullahs. They're going to kill some dude scooping out ice cream. They're going to kill a pharmacist. They're going to kill a pregnant mother. I mean, what's past its prologue in Gaza is a pretty good indication of the absolute and utter indifference to human life of Israel on a much broader, deeper scale than the manifest indifference to human life of Hamas on October the 7th. Israel has slaughtered civilians on an order of magnitude that is astronomical in comparison with their own losses of October the 7th. Gaza is rubble, for the most part. And so, wherever I turned on the multimillionaire for-profit media, I found precisely no one mentioning the fact that Iran could not just take this lying down, and that in fact, and the fact of the matter is, Iran telegraphed every one of their punches. They launched a shit ton of drones and cruise missiles and the like, and they told everybody they were going to do it. And so it wasn't even a particular challenge to shoot it all down. American pilots were scrambling and went up in the air and had a turkey shoot taking the damn things out. The Iron Dome system that we gave to Israel worked quite well, and almost nothing got through. Like, in excess of 99% of the shit that Iran flung at them didn't even make it into Israeli airspace. And then Iran said, this was a matter of honor under Article 51 of the UN Charter, and we consider the matter concluded. It was all for show. I think, and one person being hurt is too many, but whereas Israel slaughtered 7 people in Damascus, that entire barrage injured 1 child in Israel. But boy, howdy, wasn't it great for Psycho Bibi, Keska say. Because he can bark and grunt and hoot now about how
we cannot change the government in the midst of this war.
And then whoever the military figure was who did the briefing over the weekend, well, that dude sounded exactly like, another time. And a slightly different uniform. Pro tip. Don't send people out to talk about your burgeoning war who can just as easily switch to a script talking about the aggression of Poland against the Reich. And now, Israel, and this is another moment for respecting Joe Biden. And I don't. Joe Biden supports a genocide. Oh, stop it! After all the dust had settled on Sunday, Joe Biden apparently got hold of Psycho Bibi and said, "Take the fucking win. Leave it be." Because he has the backbone And he has the cred to be able to say that. But of course, taking the win has nothing to do with what Psycho Beebe is doing. Psycho Beebe is protecting Psycho Beebe. To that extent, he has more in common with Nitwit Nero than anyone else on this planet. Because he has to stay in office to stay out of prison. And so Israel said, we are keeping our counsel, and we will strike when we will strike retaliatorily when we see that it is advantageous to Israel. Which means when it's advantageous to Psycho Beebe. If the Israeli government comes close to falling apart, you can just about be sure that death will rain from the skies in an attack on Iran. Without a doubt. And I feel pretty confident that it won't result in one person being hurt. Near 100% confidence. Iran, Flavio says, Israel's bombing of Iran's consulate in Damascus is a violation of international law. You don't bomb embassies or consulates. Yes, you're right. But on top of that, the consulate in Damascus was Iranian soil. It's important to take that into account. The attack on the consulate in Iran was an attack on Iran's sovereign soil. But of course, Israel being Israel, they don't have the stones to step up and say, yeah, we did it. What are you going to do about it? To that extent, Israel is like Romulans. All you ever see of them are assholes and elbows after they've done something seedy and nefarious. You know, damn the lot of them. I heard some prattling individual say, while even the Arab countries are supportive of what Israel did, of Israel just shooting, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, really? Of course there are Arab countries who are supportive of Israel because they hate Iran, because Iran isn't Arabs. Do they not even know that Iranians are Persians? Aryans? Who, frankly, have more ethnically in common with certain groups in India than they do with anybody on the Arabian Peninsula or the Levant? I think I expect too much of the multimillionaire for-profit media. I really, really do. Flavio, you may say, you don't bomb consulates, but no, you don't, Flavio. Civilized countries don't, Flavio. But Israel does. Yeah, Flavio adds, Robin Denholm, Christy Noam et al. Reminds me of a saying a friend of mine was fond of quoting. Beauty is only skin deep, but ugly goes clean to the bone. Oh, we say that a lot around these parts. Randy Radar says, Iran's attack, Seymour Hersh, says that the Iran attack was coordinated by the Pentagon with Russia, and although there were live missiles that were targeted by Iran to specifically not harm critical Israeli infrastructure, and that the Pentagon gave President Biden plausible deniability. Remember in the novel 1984, there were border skirmishes between Eurasia, East Asia, and Oceania, but they were designed for propaganda purposes? Mr. Hirsch says that this is probably like that. It was a really expensive piece of theater. And the fact that Iran immediately said we consider the matter concluded. I mean, this is like dueling from 1,000 years ago. In fact, what I thought about was, no, this has nothing to do with ancient Rome. No, I thought of what were called the Flowery Wars in the Valley of Mexico in the centuries leading up to the arrival of the Spanish conquistadors. And those Flowery Wars were not fought to kill people. They were fought to take captives for purposes of sacrifice. So ultimately it was about killing people, but it wasn't about killing them on the battlefield. The wars themselves were entirely symbolic. Billionaires, Ron and Raleigh says, in my opinion, every billionaire is a failure of policy. There are around 1,000 billionaires in the U.S., and if you mention them paying a few more dollars in taxes, these motherfuckers whine like babies. If you read my previous email, you will see that people showing restraint in Iran is Iran, since we overthrew their democratically elected government in 1953 until now. The mullahs are assholes, but are they bigger assholes than the Likud and our entire political class? They're pretty horrible assholes. Now, there are photographs of pre-revolutionary Iran where women were doctors, scientists, bankers. Who lived in civil society and didn't have to cover up their filthy womanly hair. But that was also the era of the Shah, Reza Pahlavi, perched on his peacock throne, and his Savak secret police, who had an open brief to kill as necessary, also torture, also maim. And that is the brutality that brought back Ruhollah Khomeini after, of course, the democratic election back in 1953 and the coup run by the United States for the benefit of British Petroleum and at the behest of Winnie Churchill, who thought that anybody from west of the channel was a wog and not sufficiently white enough. I don't know what's going to come of this ongoing simmering conflict. Israel could make peace if they wanted to. There could be a Palestinian state, and I think the fact that countries like Spain and New Zealand and Ireland are considering recognizing Palestine as a state is a decent idea, because Israel is never going to willingly consent. So we've got that. The real power in Iran, Flavio says, are the Revolutionary Guards. The mullahs would not survive without them. And probably vice versa. Let's go over to the stress line because we're at the halfway point of the program. We are at 535 for the fundraising goal, and we've got 10 shows left in April. So with the way the first 2 weeks went, that's kind of scary. But at any rate, let's see who's on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Todd.
Roxy.
How are you?
I'm good.
That helps. How was your weekend?
How are you?
Everything
was okay.
April sucks. I mean, but apart from that, and I think that's the first time I've ever said that, but it does. Knocked off the air 1, 2, 3, 4 times in the first 16 days of the month. That's problematic.
Well, that's why I asked. I hope your health is okay.
Oh, my health is fine. I'm downright excited about what I went down there to talk about.
Well, good. I was in and out with the program this evening, so I just caught like the beginning and then some other things. But I don't, it's been a few weeks maybe since we've talked.
It has been.
I'm excited. I mean, I sound like it, but I just feel sorry for our country that there's so many people who are still mired. I don't know what they're mired in. It's different. They have a different reality. Oh, I'm glad I'm talking slowly because this is the place to bring it up. I have an idea. Now, this is not what I called in reference to our dear friend Scott, but it triggered me. Okay, so the things that the Biden administration is doing, this has to do with Biden and his image and the election. So the things that he's doing, we're not going to see for a while because, common people think the president can control the economy. That's not true. The president can shape legislation or massage policy to influence the economy. And that's what he's doing. Because the things that this president is doing now, we're seeing now, like the highway bill and the infrastructure act. But these other things, the CHIP Act and a lot of these other things, they require economies of scale. And these things, it's like a diesel locomotive. It starts off slow and it's going to keep chugging and it's going to have momentum behind it. And I just think that he's making the right decisions. And, he's pragmatic. He and the people around him, they're pragmatic. Even with Israel. Now, he's given our ally, the guy in charge, Bibi, enough rope to hang himself politically. Just like with the border, he's going to say, I'll just have to sign an executive order, and it's like he's going to have to say to Bibi, he's probably already said it, I support you and I love Israel, but do you think I'm going to put my political career on the line for your bad behavior? That would be the only mature response I could come up with. What do you think?
No, no disagreement.
Okay. Well, good. And I went off on a tangent, but that's part of this policy thing because the American people don't want, most of the people now who understand what's going on. We're not too keen on, Israel can kill people. Why do they need our help to kill people? That is real basic. I mean, it's that basic. They don't need our help to do that. Because that's all it's about now, slaughter. It's about bloodthirst and slaughter. Because once they show they can, which they always could do, is pinpoint someone by their cell phone or whatever, a marker, you know, they got spies. They can drop something in your bag, and they know exactly where you are. Boom, and that's it. So they don't care about, you know, it's obvious. We don't have to talk about that because we already know what, how they got. You know, they can talk all they want, but actions speak louder than words. Now, before I forget, and it's totally shifting gears, between Biden and Trump, you see, the fact that Trump is a jailbird and he's just out on bail and he's doing, breaking all the rules, everything. And he's moving faster. I can't believe how accurate I was. He's not going to make, he didn't make it. He's not making it. He's just lucky.
He ain't
going to make it. But that's not.
Listen, as I saw and heard the news coming out of Monday and Tuesday's hearings and jury selection, with that little orange pissant sitting there grumbling and mumbling out loud and having to be admonished by the judge, and sitting there and his pettifogger having the nerve to look at a sitting trial judge in the midst of a criminal trial and saying, we don't think we should have to be here today. And Mershon looking at him and saying, you don't think we should be here at all right now? I've accommodated you enough. And then said, no, he's got to be here next Wednesday and Thursday. He damn sure does. And by the way, reports are, Todd, that melanoma is quite unhappy at her hubby for dragging her boy into his arguments. Because the other thing, you know, the other thing he did was to say, well, I need to be gone on May 17th because it's my son's graduation.
As a parent, can you not see, as a sentient person, you know that was part of the agreement. Leave our kids out of this. Because you're crazy, you know, you do crazy shit. Can't you see her saying, leave our son out of this. Anything you do, do not bring him into
don't
it.
Don't have he was very our all son's name in your mouth.
That's it. See, you're very perceptive, because that was the course the whole way. And you were very careful about it. Even the press said, well, we're real careful not to talk about family. And it's like, yeah, that's a strange name. And now we know. Oh, sure, it makes sense. You know, he's a Deutschophile, infatuated with Hitler. And once again, since I brought it up, National Geographic, Hitler, the lost tapes. It's all about Trump. This is new stuff that's been released, new information, diaries, and they never mention Trump's name, but it's like, look, people, this is what we have. It's multi-parted. You know, it's a multi-part series. Hitler. It's the Lost Tapes series on National Geographic, but it's Hitler, the Lost Tapes. I mean, I'm telling you, this is going to go down in history, that particular series of episodes. And you know, and once again, I had to shift gears, please, before I forget. We have so many, you know, folks that are just, you know, they can't, they're confusing their facts with feelings or just brainwashed, you know, whatever it is. And what it's going to take, I mean, we, you know, you can't just take them off the street and throw them in, you know, like North Korea and deprogram them and pull them back up. Can't do that. But what we know from the social sciences, it took me a while to figure this out. Not that long, but I started thinking about it. I said, wait a minute, I have training in this. Solve this problem here. Testimonials, we know work. People have been using testimonials forever. Moses, I mean, everybody.
Moses.
A reputable
Moses,
person.
Moses.
Like, right. It's like, I use Acme scrolls for my tablets. They lasted 2,000 years. You know, who's going to argue with Moses? So, you know, and now I'm weaving this all together. Now we're talking about judges. and you know this, you know, judges have a lot of power. Like when they put a restriction on you, they can make up some shit. But that's the judge's order. They can say you are not allowed to drink Coca-Cola during the whole time of this trial. And if they catch you, you're in contempt. They can do shit like that. So I'm looking at a multi-pronged approach. We already have people who are dead to rights, guilty by deposition, they've admitted, such as Sidney Powell. And that's the first name I can come up with. There's some other ones, but who are now, you know, they're like, oh, God, please get me out of this. They have to provide, as part of this sentencing, and even if not, they must be compelled to provide radio and video announcements saying exactly what they did and why it was wrong. That will sink in with probably a good percentage of these people. Not everyone, because some people are going to say, well, see, they made her say that. But, you know, it's really going to sink in with some people once they put all these pieces together. But that's what it's going to take, because these people, there was a huge conspiracy. This is exactly why they tried to torpedo the Georgia case. Because it's dead to rights. These people had the depositions. When you hear, it's out there. You listen to Sidney Powell and these other people. They're spilling their guts.
Yeah, there's a reason that the proffer and the guilty pleas were taken on video.
Right. You can see her body language. She looks like she took that big shit that she's been trying to take since she left China. Been on the plane for 15 hours, 20 hours. Well, that was crude. I know, but
well,
you know, she looked relieved.
No, I'm gonna take it to a darker place. Those
damn.
those guilty pleas. Sorry. Those guilty pleas are official court records. You know, in case something.
Boom.
In case something happens to her or Kenneth Cheesebro.
Oh, you're right. That it's locked in. Yep. Yeah, well, that's the other thing. You know, when people, it's like I was, you know, finally. Oh, did you? It's so much. We hadn't talked. But I'm just shocked. I'm not that shocked. But, you know, I just don't understand why people, you know, couldn't figure out why this fucker never should have been anywhere near power. And now look at him. Did you see his body language when he walked in and out of the courtroom the last time?
Yeah, and I thought of you.
You know what I mean?
He ain't going to make
this it. This is the first week. He's not going to make it.
First week, my ass. These are the first 2 days. And he's, you know, he's been going to his little Klan rallies and stuff, talking about Alphonse Capone. They did the same thing to Alphonse Capone. And he's going out and doing his and trying to do the Orange Julius Geezer impression of Robert De Niro playing Al Capone. This is a total scam. It's totally a scam. It's a scam trial. He's coming. I'm telling you, the way he's shambling, I think
he is shambling.
I think the wheelchair and the plaid blankie and the oatmeal dribbled on his too long red tie are not that far in the future.
Who is that? That Gigante? That he acted like he was on the street, like all with the overcoat and the pajamas and yeah. Well, but except this will be real. This will be real. No, this will be real. Because remember. It's sinking in now. See, it's sinking in. That's what I was saying. Like, you know, whenever that week, months ago, whatever. Like, I remember that. Because it's a big deal. Oh, I'm glad I wrote some things down. But when you sit, you are out. You have no control. You can't do anything. All you have, hopefully, is a good attorney that will tell you don't make eye contact with the witnesses. Don't look as a judge at all too much. Look happy. Look, try to look like, well, I'm just going through the motions so I can get out of here innocent. Here's your pad. No, write small. Nowadays, he better be writing. Well, he can't write. He's got a Sharpie. He's fucked. Can you imagine trying to write small with a Sharpie? He's fucked.
Might as well give him those first grade crayons and a big chief tablet.
Somebody's gonna put a camera on his ceiling.
He got so mad, Todd, when Maggie Haberman published the fact that he was falling asleep at council table. I knew this is gonna be big. When I think it was Tuesday morning, I woke up and I was getting ready to go to my appointment, and I see a meme, and it's a picture of him dozing off, and it just says, Don Snorleone. And then he woke up and he finally read all the notes that his lawyer had been writing to him. Because Todd Blanche can't lean over and, you know, just give him a wake the fuck up. But there's a reason he's asleep, Todd. Oh, by the way, thank you to Henry. Henry just got us down to $515 to go in fundraising, so we're only $215 away from being funded for last Friday. Thank you, Henry. Thank you so much.
Hey, Henry.
Yeah. No, there's a reason he's nodding off
Henry.
Like that. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
One.
Mm-hmm.
One, they won't let him have his morning rails of Adderall.
That's what I'm thinking.
Two, they may have even dosed him to the eyes with Valium or Ativan. Or at this point, and I know you know what it is, fucking Haldol.
Oh, man. Yep, that's the heavy duty stuff there. But that's what it's going to take to quell his emotions, because he cannot, you know, he has impulse control issues. He can't, he is unable. He's not set up for this. And it's kind of sudden for him. All this shit. He's old. He's used to doing what the hell. Look, he ain't having his little, nasty ass Big Mac when he wants it.
And I got to think,
Diet Coke.
I mean, I hate the way that, and I'm not wishing. I'm not engaging in wishcraft. Because I'm not a witch. I'm you. And in fact, I'm not a witch. I'm something that rhymes with it. But the fact of the matter is, if something awful happens and nature catches up with him, and he were to shuffle off this mortal coil and head to his long home, and the silver cord be broken and the golden bowl be dropped or dumped or whatever, all that shit from Ecclesiastes. And if it's abundantly obvious that there was no foul play, the maggots will still scream, Biden had him offed! When in fact, what will happen, and I thought about it when you, what you were just saying, when in fact, the culprit will be hamburgers, Big Macs, and Cinco de Mayo taco bowls.
The human body can only take so much. You see his face is sagging. He's losing. He's looking dissipated.
What was it? I think Jimmy Kimmel said that there was a grave risk in the courtroom that the courtroom sketch artist might run out of orange crayons. But the thing is, he's not entirely orange these days. He's sort of a sallow orange. Have you ever let an orange just sit out on your countertop without being in the fridge or anything, and over time it sort of loses that bright orange glow and just kind of starts getting sort of gray? That's him.
You've been in my kitchen, haven't you?
Shut up. You've been in mine.
Yeah, I know. And you have to throw it out because it's just, it's done. It's all, look at his, you see his skin, his pores.
And you hung on to it going, well, I might eat that tomorrow.
Right? You know it. I love that story. That analogy is perfect. It's the truth. Like, I'm going to eat you tomorrow. Nobody ate it. I told you to eat it. Yeah, I thought you were going to eat it. And then it was a beautiful orange at one point. I just. Wait a minute. You're right. This shit hadn't even started yet. Yo, I mean, this is fucked up. This is really not fun. This is a fucking. All right. Let's just wait. Let me back up. This doesn't. You can't make this shit up. This motherfucker's a jailbird out on bail in multiple jurisdictions, trying to run for president, unhealthy. Everybody knows he's a liar. Everybody knows now, even more than Joe, they finally got on board with what we've been saying for 2 or 3 years, probably. You know what? The American Kim Philbys are rising up in plain sight. And a lot of people don't understand what that phrase means.
I forget who it was the other day that said the Rosenbergs did less than Nitwit Nero did, and they got the chair.
Damn. Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, that listen, I can't improve on that. That's the truth. But that's, you can't fuck with the, you can't mess with the truth. Do you understand that some, I don't know, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, our representative here, Clyburn, he called the GOP on television. He only did it one time. He said the gang of Putin. Now, do you think someone of his seniority he wouldn't say that if he didn't know what he was talking about? But this is not surprising. Are you surprised?
Not in the least. Oh, no, not at all. I mean, the whole thing, I know we say it a lot, but I mean this with sincerity. He ain't going to make it. You're right.
No, he's not going to.
And in fact, Steve wrote in, going back to your reference to the Skrulls, Acme Skrulls, and Steve in New York said, I'd like to nominate HRH, the Duke of Philadelphia, Todd, for a Rama Lama Ding Dong Bell. That's for the Skrulls. I don't know if you caught it, but the Llama has a name now. Her name is Rama.
I didn't.
Her name is Rama. She's Rama Lama. And when somebody gets the award, it's a Rama Lama Ding Dong.
You know what? I like that because Rama, I like spiritual, and it reminds me of Ganesh incense. I don't know why. But that's cool. Rama Rama Ding. You know, we got to get over this.
Wait a minute. Oh, my God. Ganesh incense cones? What's next? Are you going to tell me about the club paper? You can mention the club rolling papers by S.D. Modiano?
Oh, the good? You mean the what you use for the best comfort you can see through them.
They were the best papers of all time.
There's no ash.
Yeah, you could just pull out a paper, set fire to it, and it's like, whew, no ash at all.
Nothing. You reserve that for the finest of.
And no glue.
What you can acquire.
No glue on it either.
No, that was the whole. No. Oh, maybe. And it would turn brown, right? Well, you know, you bring it back. So, yeah, man, that's what's up. But the Ramalam Ding Dong. I like that. That's funny. Oh, my goodness. So. You know what? But what? Let me tell you what concerns me about this trial right now. I have a bad feeling about one of the jurors that has been seated already. Well, not seated, but has been approved. It's not the right language. I'm not using
but, they,
the
but the funny
language.
Thing is, they got 7 by the end of yesterday. They need a total of 18.
And
the fact that they got 7 by the end of the day yesterday drove Orange Julius Geezer out to the microphone saying, "It's happening too fast. This is rigged. Joe Biden is picking the jurors."
Did you hear that? He's going to lose. That's making him lose his shit even more. He is not. I know I said, but it's just coming out now. He's not going to make it. He's going to have to stew this whole time. He knows it's coming. That train is about to hit his face.
The fact that he turned around and stink-eyed Maggie Haberman, after all the years she spent carrying his water and being his stenographer. But when he did go to sleep in the courtroom, somebody was there. Somebody outside said, "So if he becomes president, what's it going to be like in the Situation Room?"
Well, look here. I'm getting real southern now. Now look here. He's been getting that white privilege pass every which way you look. He claimed Obama was too lazy and playing golf all the time. What did he do? He played golf almost every fucking day. All he did was line his pockets, you know, for the most part. And let's not forget, remember, he rode on Obama's economy. Obama was president for 2 terms. That means something. That means that momentum is there. Now, I know what I said about economy and the president, but still, you just got, a piddly ass 4 years in, and a lot of that, you weren't doing shit for nothing. So and they didn't do anything when they had at the House and the Senate. You know, the whole border thing, they keep saying, Biden, it's the rules. Congress set the rules. So anytime you hear anybody say Biden and the border, stop them and say, "Well, it really doesn't work that way. Be as nice as you can." Because maybe they don't know. But they have to work. It's like a cop trying to arrest you for something that there's not. Be like, the cop doesn't like what you're doing, but there's no law against it. You see, that's a good nail. They have to follow the rules as they're set out now, which is why Congress needs to change the rules.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, going back to the Palestinians for just a moment, on Thursday...
Oh, they're still around!
Yeah, they haven't killed them all yet. The UN Security Council is going to meet tomorrow, and they're going to have a vote on Palestine's application to be a full UN member state. This, according to a report in Agence France-Presse. The Security Council has to give a recommendation before the General Assembly can take it up.
How's that going to work?
Well, the United States will... I'm hoping the United States will abstain again. I mean, the right thing to do would be to simply vote in favor, but that's probably not possible.
I think it will be soon. I think that too many people are finding out how duplicitous our ally is, and we have to make sure that we understand there's a difference between criticizing the course and policies and practices of the nation state of Israel from being anti-Semitic. They are 2 entirely different things. But they are lying. They treat people terribly and they fucking lie about it. And they have been targeting and killing journalists for quite some time and they lie about it. And that's a fucking problem. And it doesn't make them any friends. And the fact that just as I predicted, a lot of people predicted it dragged. We've already lost souls. We've lost soldiers already over this shit because they refuse to do the right thing. And, you know, as religious as they claim they are, they are terroristic, just like they claim other people are against them. And it's quite clear now, and a lot of people see it, because when you bomb a consulate or even something related to a consulate in another country, just because, I mean, obviously, okay, fine. I mean, I know that these people don't like you, and they probably have plotted on you and done things against you. But to invade the sovereignty of another country because you're pissed off, what does that make you? Why do you feel like that you're able to do that? Why do they feel like that's okay? And if you ask them that question, I guarantee you what they will do is yell over you and bang on the table because the facts are not with them. And I am really unconvinced. They're on this dominionist path, and they have these fuckers over here behind them. And all they're going to do, we're going to have that Middle Eastern terrorism over here again because these fuckers refuse to do the right thing. It's clear to me. I don't know why they got to get a handle on this shit. And what you were saying about Persia, right? Those people have pride. That's an ancient thing. Come on, there's a reason they have pride.
Yeah,
and a lot of it is bluster that they don't recognize. Because remember, most Iranians, they want to be Western. They don't like that mullah shit either.
And the thing is, there was a movement toward broader freedoms that the mullahs and the Revolutionary Guard were ruthlessly crushing. But when you attack Iran, people will coalesce to defend their country. You know, when I saw this shit unfolding on Sunday, Todd, I thought of something that Otto von Bismarck said prior to August of 1914. Recall where World War I began, Sarajevo. And sometime in the past, prior to that, Otto von Bismarck said, the whole of the Balkans aren't worth the bones of a single Pomeranian grenadier. That's a profound statement. In other words, he was saying that there wasn't anything about the Balkans that was worth a German dying for. Unfortunately, right. He wasn't running the show when August of 1914 came along. But I thought of a paraphrase of that on Sunday when the missiles were flying. And I thought, you know, the whole of Israel, and let's not limit it to Israel, the whole of the so-called Middle East is not worth the bones of a single American buck private. And I saw a meme the other day of Bibi Netanyahu pointing to American flag draped coffins and saying, they're anti-Semitic, they won't get in the box. I'm just sick of American lives being thrown into a toilet over a region that over a region that is simply not worth it.
Because I don't think it'll matter. You know. No, it's not worth it.
I'm not an isolationist.
Neither am I. But sometimes you have to be prudent and know what
if you ever wanted an argument for a green energy future, you need look.
Damn, you read my mind.
You need look no further than Saudi Arabia Iran, Qatar, the UAE. Because
and get us the hell out of here. That,
because if we could get to a zero hydrocarbon economy, we could look over at those fuckers and say, don't care what the fuck happens to you. And wash our hands and be done. And deal with people
and be done with us.
And deal with people who want to deal with us. You know, bearing in mind the prescient and wise words of George Washington when he was leaving his second term in office, when he said, avoid foreign entanglements. Do business with them. Do business with them. Sell them shit. Buy shit from them. But avoid getting involved in their personal business.
Right. I mean, right. Look at our Civil War, right? I mean, I love to study about it. You know, the spies, because the textiles, you know, people wanted that cotton. The world needed that cotton. The spy craft, it was a lot.
Wait a minute. The duck just dropped down, Todd. You said the magic word. Cotton.
Oh, that fucker's crazy. I have like four notes, and listen, he doesn't understand how stupid he looks. And has he not noticed that he looks like a closeted gay guy with his little lisp and shit? He better stop trying to be Butch. The fuck is wrong with him?
Are you saying,
everybody knows. I can tell this motherfucker's gay.
Wait a minute. Are you saying he's pinging your gaydar?
That nigga's gay, man. Come on. Look. Nah, if he's not gay, he want to be gay, and he's too scared. Something's wrong. Yeah, he ain't right. That's part of his fucking problem. That's why he's trying to be tough. And in fact, on C-SPAN today, who was it? Somebody who knows him was like, oh, he just talks tough. It was somebody who served with him. Oh, from Pennsylvania. It might have.
Well, I saw.
I had to look.
They've had. They've had.
And I'm not making fun of gay people. I'm just saying
Look, there's no as J.K. Rowling proves, the meanest person on earth is a closeted person.
Mm-hmm.
Because at this point in time, I'm more than happy to surmise that J.K. Rowling is a closeted trans guy. She's even said so. In her writing.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Or she's alluded to it. But the fact of the matter is, Tom Cotton, a senator from the state of Arkansas, put in office by a majority of voters of the entire state, Tom Cotton said that, and of course he's dishonest, because, you know, maggot, he's dishonest in his characterization. He said, people need to get out of their cars and beat the hell out of pro-Hamas demonstrators holding up traffic. Well, the first lie is in the fact that it's pro-Hamas demonstrators. It fucking isn't.
See?
These demonstrations, these protests... These protests are against a genocide being committed in Gaza.
He started off with ignorance. Palestinian does not equal Hamas.
Yeah, just the same as Jewish does not equal Zionist.
Ding.
Thank you. But the people who follow Tom Cotton don't know that, and he's not going to smarten up a chump. That said, I must note that on our Filthy Morning Habit for the last couple of mornings, they've had Eddie Glaude Jr. on. And when either he or Anna Giordardos show up, the general IQ of the whole panel goes up by at least 125 points. And Eddie Glaude Jr. responded because Tom Cotton went over to X and put up an excrement talking about how we need to, he wants people pushed off of the Golden Gate Bridge and into the waters of San Francisco Bay.
that would be death. And Eddie Glaude Jr. responded to him and just said, "What's wrong with you?" And I responded and said, "He's got cotton brain. And it's uncurable." And the thing is, do you realize people have said that Tom Cotton might be presidential timber?
Oh, he's in the top five. Military, you know, straight, good posture. You know, he looks good on TV. You know, he meets all the, you know, like just like, yes. Well, yeah. Pretty soon I'll be talking about Mike Johnson, believe it or not. Watch.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Matt in San Francisco, Tom Cotton. He used it to remove the cum from his face. Oh.
Damn. Wait a minute. Matt, no, you didn't, Matt.
That was Matt. Matt, Rama Lama has a ding dong for Matt. You.
Damn, man. Cotton candy. Oh, shit. you know what? Matt triggered me. No, and you know what? Oh, this is important. Seriously. A lot of these people might be on board with the Putin Party because of, remember, you know, the Soviet, I'm going to say the Soviet Union in Russia. They've been very adept for, oh God, 120, 30 years for being able to do shit on the cheap. Their tanks, they were rugged, reliable, and cheap. Right? Submarines. Cheap. But they ran. The cars, they kind of fucked up.
The Kalashnikov, the AK-47. Drop it in the swamp and pull it out and start shooting.
And start shooting. That is like a Toyota 4Runner. Exactly. So, my point, this is about durability.
Oh, the Toyota Land Cruiser, please.
You know, and I got sidetracked. You know, you triggered me with something about durability. Oh my God, we're talking about Kalashnikov. We're talking about Tom Cotton. Oh God, wait a minute. No, it was important. Oh, I know what it was. Right. They work on the cheap. Remember, they've been doing all this stuff with bots. You know, from the GRU, you know, Russia. They're not spending a lot of money. They have really sunk this country without spending too much money. And remember when Donald Trump said we were going to turn into some shithole third world country, you know, like the way they wear the khaki suits because it's so hot. That's exactly what it turned us into. And they don't even see it. This is what happens in those countries. Oh, you have revolts at the capital.
God. Wait, where they wear the khaki suits.
Yeah, right. See how ironic everything is? It is so ironic. It is so ironic. So, once again, Russia on the cheap. They're going back to what works, and it's cheap. Compromise. I bet you a lot, because the email and pictures, man, cool. You know how easy that is. They can get people shit. And have those fuckers are closeted, like gay, whatever, you know, something they don't want anybody to know. They'd be embarrassed about. On top of the people that are really on board. Because some of these people are on board. They know where, you know, they're like, oh, I'm white. Caucasus Mountains. Oh, Caucasian. Yeah, white. Yeah, I like that. I like Putin. Oh, yeah, we need to be strong. I mean, that's part of it, is gripping on to this. Once again, I'm tying this together. I'm not on a tangent. Because I did see Eddie Cloud. I was like, that shit was powerful, man. It was like a sermon this morning. It was serious. But you see, this is what we're dealing with. And I remember that was the last thing I said to you last time we talked. It's like the power, whatever they're calling the power elite now, a certain group of people have made a choice that we need to side with Russia, you know, 20, 30, 40 years down the road, as opposed to China. And some of this embrace of white nationalism is baked into that cake, because you see it's big. That's when they were talking about Kerry Lake and And when you start talking about Jesus and guns, that shit's scary. That's like Klan 1922. You know, like with that Crusades Red Cross and the Miller woman. You ever look at an old bottle of Miller beer with a woman? That's that white supremacy shit.
Well, right here in the studio, I have a photo of a Klan rally from 1922. Somewhere in there is my grandfather. I got the big burning cross of the robes and all of that. And it's absolutely sickening to behold.
Did you go to Washington? Was it that march?
No. This was just over across the river in Oak Hill. Back then, the roads the way they were, probably took him 3 hours to get there.
So I believe that.
So he must have really wanted to be there. But he didn't stay very long. He got out. So better to get in and get out than to never get out at all. Best not to get in at all. But I need to send out a thank you. An April challenge coming in from Gino. Sorry, April sucked for you, but it's a beautiful month. It is, Gino. And I got to tell you, as I drove south, I mean, the red buds are in full riot here. The mountains are just pink. They grow wild. They're indigenous to this area. And there's just something uplifting about them. And as I went south and got into North Carolina, the red buds in Virginia gave way to the wisteria in North Carolina, which is just a different level of beautiful. It is a beautiful
Where'd
moment.
You go?
Durham.
Oh!
I left on Sunday.
Durham is nice.
I left on Sunday and came back yesterday. Durham's a pretty town, or at least the part of it that I saw.
Oh, I like that. The Raleigh-Durham Research Triangle. Oh, man. I like that area a lot.
And I'll be back there sometime around Christmas. Yeah. And, you know, I'm excited about that. All I have to do is hang on to insurance and keep those bastards happy. Gino says it is a beautiful month. And Gino says the peaches are blooming with the rest of the fruit trees coming on rapidly behind. The valley is greening up while the mountains on both sides still have beautiful snow-capped peaks. The narcissus and the tulips are coming on strong, and the yard is a blue carpet of grape hyacinths. Oh, my. The cat is ecstatic to roll in the grass in the sun instead of howling with disgust at the snow. I know that howl, Gino. The yoder is out from beneath its protective coverings and ready to start smoking the summer away. And on the 2nd of April, my Tacoma turned 22, and I turned 72. And we're both still running
fine. Damn.
I already have lived more than 40 years longer than I ever expected to as a kid. And my doctor's sure I'll live at least another day. April is beautiful. So I'll put out a $300 April showers challenge. Dollar for dollar, may the donations rain down upon you, Gino. Oh, Gino, that's so kind and so sweet. Thank you so much. And it is beautiful. It's just a little weird to be beset here by tornadoes. Because that wasn't part of the plan. We're not supposed to get those. Two hailstorms yesterday was the 16th minus two. Two hailstorms in 2 weeks. My grandmother lived 91 years, and I don't think she ever saw that happen here. Climate change is real.
Climate change.
But you're absolutely correct, Gino, that it is beautiful. As I was almost home driving down the shortcut to the house yesterday, I'm sorry, mansion. West Virginia has to have more than one mansion. Ha. The wind had blown so hard that there were white blossoms lining the road that looked like remnants of snow. And I kind of did a double take and thought, oh, isn't that pretty? But it is beautiful. And thank you, Gino. Thank you so much. We've got about 40 minutes left in the program. If we want to jump on the spring is beautiful challenge, courtesy of Gino, that would be that. You know what? If that got met, we'd be caught all the way up, and we'd have a fighting chance for the rest of the month. And that's so important because there's still stuff out there. I've got the lupine pest of the Appalachian Power off the porch for another week or so.
I still have to deal with water and phone and internet. And, of course, insurance. And that'll take just about everything that comes in this month. Thank you, Gino. Thank you so much, and I hope people will jump in. Jude said, Gino, you're a poet, as you fed my soul. I know the feeling. Jude also jumped in, and we will apply that to the challenge. And so there is $265 remaining on that challenge. Jude said, there was a way you and Todd and me actually talked together live. It was beyond delightful. Left you at the 1 minute mark, Robin, before our mic came on air, and we laughed. Stress lines filled in by our brother Todd, aligning here as we share the same ether. Distance is an illusion, sending support for this moment. Thank you, Jude. Thank you. Yeah, the telephony here is...
Oh.
Yeah, when somebody's on the stress line, then the only other alternatives are Skype. Thank you, Ralphs, for jumping
well,
in.
I was going
to... Thank you, Ralphs, for jumping in on Gino's challenge. That takes us down to... $240 to go to meet the April is beautiful, Spring is beautiful challenge from Gino. And by the way, Gino, happy birthday. Happy birthday and many happy returns. Randy Radar says, We had ornamental cherry blossoms here a week ago. Oh, the flowering pears, which, by the way, are an invasive species. They don't produce pears, just flowers. They're in full bloom now. And the dogwoods are as well. I do love spring, just not the tornado parts.
No, I was thinking about you guys because we had some of the same weather like about, I don't know, I think it was 2 weeks ago maybe. It was bad. Well, we had a bunch of bad wind and just tornadoes out of nowhere, like black funnel clouds. And you said one of those days you said it was too windy. But, you know, spring in the South, there's nothing like it. The aroma, especially if you don't live in an urban area, if you're kind of on the outskirts, you know. Bucolic.
Jasmine.
Oh, I'm smelling all that right now. I have everything open where we have wisteria, jasmine, of course, the azaleas, they were big. Oh my goodness!
I'm just curious.
Can you imagine?
How far are you from? How far where you are in South Carolina? How far is that from Durham?
Oh, I would say. Well, I know it's about 4 hours because of the highways. But you got to go 90, 85 up to Rocky Mountain and head east.
Well, I mean, 85 goes right.
Because when
Durham.
I go to Durham, yeah, but I have to get to 85 because 85 doesn't run through here. When I get on 85, though, if I'm going up there, I got to head over to New Bern. New Bern is the shit. I've not even been over there, but it's a hidden gem.
Talk about the barbecue.
Oh, God. But just the, everything, the environment. I mean, it's an old city. It's right on the ocean, kind of like an inlet. And the seafood. I mean, it's just a water-based community, old. And it's just nice. It's just really nice. And when you go there, it looks like you're going to the abyss. It's green, like Delaware. It's kind of flat and green. It's like, oh, what happened? But then, oh, you hit civilization. It's there. But back to Durham, you know, so I guess you get medical attention in Durham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, North Carolina,
I
mean, you know.
I already said it.
How long does it take you to get there?
Once you factor in potty breaks, about 5 hours and 15 minutes.
That's not bad.
It's 272 miles.
Because going back, I don't know.
I don't like traffic tickets, so I follow the speed limit pretty assiduously.
Yeah, you probably, yeah. It's not worth it.
I like my insurance rates.
Yeah.
I mean, who am I lying to? I don't. I'm being ripped off, but I don't need them to be any higher.
No, well, I mean, come on. All you have to do is to do anything. But you know, that drive, I'm thinking about that drive. That when you mentioned how long it takes, people who've not been to West Virginia don't understand. You can see where you want to go. You can see it. You can look right at the place you want to go to. What? I remember the first time it happened to me, and I was like, no. And then he's like, yeah, it's going to take a while. I said, but I can see it. Well, so you have to go down a mountain, and there's no bridge. You got to go to the nearest bridge. It's like, you really have to drive 20 miles after I cross over? Yep.
It can be that way. I mean, when I go westbound out of West Virginia, it takes about 2.5 hours, and the first hour of that is 2-lane road that's just one long speed trap. You mentioned this way, I basically get on the 4-lane 6 miles out the road, and I stay on. It's hilly, and I had. If it weren't for the road construction slowdowns yesterday, I would have been here in the house, you know, before the hailstorm.
Right. Yet.
But it just doesn't work that way sometimes.
You had to drive through a hailstorm?
Yeah, oh yeah. And I had to run through one when I got home. Those little fuckers sting when they hit you. They got some velocity behind them. It's like being hit by a BB gun.
Yeah.
But I was going to tell you because, you know, I got off air on after Friday on the front porch, and this all happened on the weekend when there wasn't anybody to tell, so I have to tell it now. I was in the Wiggling Pig on Saturday, and Todd, it was a whole Boston butt, but for economical purposes, they had run it through the meat saw and cut it in half. So I bought a half of one, and it was like $13. And I came home and
they cut the bone in half and everything?
Oh, yeah. You know, that sound. But I came home and I rubbed it and got all my seasonings on it. Brother Deacon Asa saw it, fired up the smoker, and held it at 250. And that beautiful thing was done. I took it off of the smoker a little bit before midnight on Saturday.
Damn.
And I mean, I touched it with the fork, and it just fell all apart.
Oh, gee.
I mean, and the smoke and the smoke ring, I swear, was a quarter inch deep.
Hmm.
And it had a beautiful crust. I'll have to send you the photo.
I could use some of that right now. That sounds great.
And so I had barbecue for lunch before I left on Sunday, and I took sandwiches to some friends across the river as I was going out of town, and I had leftovers. But there's nothing like coming home to pulled pork barbecue leftovers.
I got you through, didn't it?
Oh, it was so good. It was so good. But the other fun thing was while I was down there, I mentioned it at the beginning of the program, when I figured, look, I'm this close to the coast. There's got to be a raw bar somewhere in Durham. And lo and behold, there was, and it was about 5 minutes from my hotel.
Wow.
So I hadn't had any fresh raw oysters in a long time. And I walked in, and there were two ladies sitting at the end of the bar together. There was an empty seat, and there was a guy sitting to the right. And I said, is this seat taken? And the two ladies said, not at all. Sit down, honey. And the guy looked at me and said, only by you, sweetheart. So I
did you laugh?
Thank you. But I sat down and started talking to the ladies, and we had a wonderful conversation, laughing and carrying on. And they were from there, and I said, you got to tell me what you think of Mark Robinson. And it was almost as if the line, it was almost as if it was rehearsed, and they both at the same time, they were besties, they've been besties forever, at the same time they looked at me and said, "That motherfucker."
Oh, you opened up the line on that. The current came through as soon as you said that, huh?
Mm-hmm. And so I knew I knew I was among good people, and we just talked and carried on.
Damn, good.
And they asked where I was. I said West Virginia, and they said, "Why are you doing it?" I said I'm getting my face done. And they said, "Look here," and I turned and looked at her, and I said, "Your face is beautiful. You don't need anything done." I was like, "Oh, makeup covers up a multitude of sins." Oh, we know. And
that made you feel good, didn't it?
Oh, it made me feel wonderful. But we went on and talked. And,
that's good.
And the one woman actually lives down in Florida. And I said, "So tell me what you think about your governor. You know, go-go boots, meathead Ron, meatball Ron." And again, that motherfucker. So we just had a wonderful time. And at the end, I asked for my check. The young lady behind the bar brought me my check, and the woman reached over and snatched it out of my hands and said, "The West Virginia girl comes all the way down here and wants oysters. I think she deserves to have us have us cover them." So that was just super sweet.
Wow.
And all told, just, you know, a wonderful trip. You know, until the change engine oil light came on. 3 days after I changed
the
engine oil.
No way.
3 days after I changed the engine oil. You know, that's the thing. Oh, Matt.
Well, you know what?
Matt. Boston Butt asks Matt, and Ramalama has a ding-dong. Boston Butt, you made a half-ass purchase and then rubbed it? You're disgusting. You're disgusting. Signed, Emily Latella. Never mind.
That's funny.
Half-assed purchase. Huh.
I'm not surprised, though, that you had... I mean, there are so many little places in down... Like, not even down... Well, all this, over this, Durham. This, downtown, this, around.
This place was called the Shuckin' Shack. And I could have eaten my weight in oysters. They had... They had raw oysters, steamed oysters. What I really wanted were the roasted oysters. They had Parmesan cheddar... Or cheddar jalapeno, rather, and Parmesan garlic. And when I go back there, I'm going there, and I'm going to try those roasters. They had raw clams, steamed clams.
Woo! You know, it's always nice to hear good news, and I think that's a great story, and it makes me think, you know, I think it might be a good idea if all of us go out of our way to be nice to strangers. Even if we think we're not, you know, we don't like them or whatever. Because people, I don't know about you, but I've noticed a lot of people.
We can spread kindness. We have a choice.
Angry.
We can spread kindness, or we can spread just bad energy. I find my life is better when I try to spread kindness and happiness.
Yeah, there you go.
And most of that is just using the manners Mama done taught me.
It's not that hard. It's not that hard. And well, you know what? I really enjoyed the conversation, and I hope someone will pick up and maybe. Somebody who saw Eddie Cloud this morning. I'm getting stuffed up. Because that was kind of moving. Everybody got quiet.
The entire East Coast is stuffed up, Todd.
I thought it was just me.
I wake up every morning and feel like somebody's turned me upside down in the night and poured my head full of Quikrete. Now that you mentioned our filthy morning habit, I actually have the clip here. If you can stand by for just a second,
yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, this is good. I mean, I actually am hearing more common sense off of this program lately than anywhere else on the multimillionaire for-profit media. They're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. It might have been nice if they could have pointed out that Israel started all this shit with the attack on the Iranian consulate in Damascus, but, well, you can't have everything.
As she made the comments at a campaign rally on Sunday.
The next 6 months is going to be intense, and we need to strap on our, let's see, what do we want to strap on? We're going to strap on our seatbelt. We're going to put on our helmet or your Kerry Lake ball cap. We are going to put on the armor of God. And maybe strap on a Glock on the side of us just in case. You can put one here and one in the back or one in the front, whatever you guys decide. Because we're not going to be the victims of crime. We're not going to have our Second Amendment taken away. We're certainly not going to have our First Amendment taken away by these tyrants.
Did you notice how often she said strap on?
I think she liked that.
Yeah, is there anybody that doesn't know that she was making a naughty little innuendo for her mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing maggot creepers, followers? Minions.
No, I know. I'm saying that she's into that. No, I know. I could tell by her voice. No, she the way she says it. No, she knows exactly.
We're gonna strap on our what? Wow, chicka wow wow.
Come on. You know, I don't know. These people think that they're so transparent, and. Come on, it's a big wild world, man. People do shit. And she's doing shit. And she just totaling herself, just like Trump.
Yeah. See, the vibe is real. Matt in San Francisco just wrote Kerry Lake. Something tells me she knows a thing or two about strap-ons.
See? That right. She was way too comfortable. She wasn't like, strap-on? No, no. She was like, yeah, I'm going to strap. Yep. Come on. No.
She knows what a filthy bunch of perverts the maggots are. They follow a filthy pervert leader. Thank God I can't. When this trial gets started, if Stormy Daniels goes on the stand, Todd, and starts talking about how tiny his dick is. He ain't gonna make it.
This is going. He ain't gonna. He.
She says that, yeah, it's kind of like a thumb. Looks like a mushroom. And there's I
couldn't really tell.
I understand why the jury couldn't find him guilty of rape in the E. Jean Carroll case, because you really can't tell the difference between that and a finger.
See, and that's a real woman talking.
Emilio says, Kerry Lake's into strap-ons now? Whose vote is she going to go? Is she going for now? And of course, you know, they can't be quite as blunt on our filthy morning habit as we are here. And of course, they fixated on the strap on a Glock part of it. But that was, you know, the thing is, that was her fig leaf for the dirty joke she was telling. Anyway, so that's the clip they ran, and this followed.
Not great audio there. If you couldn't hear it, she said she wanted to put on a seatbelt, put on the armor of God, and yes, a Glock on her hip, and then got into some comments about the Second Amendment. Meanwhile, Republican Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas is doubling down on his comments. We told you about these yesterday, where he urged citizens to, quote, forcibly remove pro-Palestinian protesters blocking traffic on major bridges and roads across the country this week. Cotton told people to, quote, take matters into their own hands against demonstrators and to confront them with the use of physical force.
The thing is, I'm sure you watched this morning too. I did. And I'm sitting there saying, Heather Heyer, Heather Heyer, Heather Heyer. The people who vote the same way Tom Cotton does have already done that. It was August. It was 2017. It was the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, when a real live, no kidding, bona fide
got all the tattoos Nazi, murdered Heather Heyer with his car. Why would you not mention that in this context, Todd?
You know what? I'm glad that I did stay on the phone. I'm glad you did. I sound tired or no, but I'm glad that you played that, because now I think that the cotton should be censured, because on a number of reasons, right? On a number of reasons. Number one, that's an official for the government calling for violence against peaceful protesters. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm with a lot of these other people. Like, there's a way to do it. There's a way to go down the highway where you have enough room to let the cars by. And that's the way it should be done. And you have to get a permit. Because, seriously, people are late to work. I know, but they made their point. You know, and they were successful. They made their point. And it said right there, they were holding the flag, it said, Free Palestine. And my God, how long have people been, I've been saying that. My God, when I first found out about, you know, what was really going on, I was probably 29, maybe. Yeah, I was probably around 20, maybe a little before that, but I would say 29. I didn't really understand. I started learning. I was like, oh shit, it's not what they're talking about. But anyway, so you can't have government officials telling people to take the law, to be vigilantes. And see, this is why they brought Eddie Glaude on for 2 days in a row. Number one, the book he just was hawking yesterday. And here comes Tom, you know, with these stupid comments. Because for black people, it's not hard to see exactly what the fuck. And Eddie Glaude almost jumped out of his skin this morning when he was explaining it. He said, look, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but think about it. It's okay to protest if you're the right kind of person. We don't need the black people to sit down and shut up. Tom Cotton's so far out. Either he's ignorant or he's just playing to the base when he's talking about these. I've never seen a pro-Hamas demonstration. I haven't. Maybe they're out there, but that's just so weird. I've not seen that at all. And so he's misleading people like that. In addition, you know, we can feel whatever way you want about what's going on over there, but the facts are the facts. And that's the problem, is that the truth is coming out and people don't like it. They say, oh, we don't like these universities and the academics. Well, because they're coming with facts. Once again, facts and feelings. It doesn't comport with your value system or your mores or how you want things to be. You know, we want law enforcement to be fair all the time and not beat people up and kill people. But that's the way it is. Some people do that. Some law enforcement engages. And you can ask someone today, right now, are all cops honest? And they'll say, yes, of course. And I just look at them like, well, but why? How can you say that? Well, because they're police officers. Am I wrong?
No. No.
Am I wrong?
No.
And that shit frightens me. But that's what we're dealing with.
Let's pop back into our filthy morning habit for a second.
Here is Senator
doubling
down on that stance to NBC News.
Vigilantes are blocking traffic in the streets when moms are trying to get kids to school, or people trying to go to the hospital, or just trying to get to work. Should be removed from the streets. Yes, I said that. I posted it. I would say it again today, and I would do it myself if I found myself in that situation.
But you said people should take matters into their own hands. Can you just clarify what that means? Because some people think it could call for violence.
It calls for getting out of your car and forcibly removing pro-Hamas vigilantes who are blocking the streets on major highways so traffic can continue.
Senator Cotton maintains he's not calling for violence against the protesters, but did share a video on Twitter showing a group of men dragging protesters off the road, with the senator captioning, quote, how it should be done. So Joe and Mika, we talked about this yesterday. Senator Cotton says he does not want you to go and use violence against the protesters. We also talked about yesterday how annoying it is, and we think probably an ineffective way of winning hearts and minds to lock down roads and prevent people from getting where they're going, but that's separate from what the senator is saying here.
Well, yeah, and of course he went down the list of things that we said make us angry when idiots go out and decide they're going to protest by blocking roads, stopping people from getting their children to school, or people maybe taking their elderly parents to a hospital. It is just so dangerous and, again, counterproductive for any cause. Anybody that does that, I'm against your cause. Just, you know, I think that's how most motorists would agree with it. But Willie, he can't really step out of the fact that he was talking about ripping the skin off of people's hands. He was talking about throwing people off the Golden Gate Bridge. I mean, this happened on the Golden Gate Bridge. They said, well, in Arkansas, we'd throw them over the bridge. That's where they need to do that. They need to. And so you have, again, him talking about violence. And you just ask yourself, why does a politician think that's the road to popularity? Kerry Lake talks about the armor of God and carrying a Glock. For some reason, with that audience, carrying a Glock gets a bigger cheer than the armor of God. I think back when I was running, at least for people in most audiences, armor of God would probably do better than strapping on a Glock, because if you say that, people go, what's wrong with him? I mean, and it goes, again, the audience cheering for that, you know, reminds me of Donald Trump and audiences gleefully talking about a man in his 80s being awakened from sleep and nearly being bludgeoned to death by a hammer. They still celebrate. And I say they, not just Donald Trump. You can all say, oh, how sick Donald Trump is. Look at the audience. The audience is cheering. They're laughing that a man in his 80s got bludgeoned almost to the point of death by a guy that went in, screaming, you know, the MAGA chant, where's Nancy? Where's Nancy? So this is the glorification of violence. And the big question is, why does this glorification of violence sell so well in Donald Trump's Republican Party? It's sick. It's sad. It's un-American.
It's scary. And Willie, once again, we have to look at this for what it is, or what it appears to be like. And it's almost cult-like behavior, mimicking him, taking on his positions, even if some of them are evil and cruel and violent.
Yeah, everyone's doing sort of a poor man's version of Donald Trump at these campaign rallies. I think that's what you saw from Kerry Lake at that rally. And to Joe's point, it was almost like she didn't get the response she wanted by saying armor of God. So she said, I better throw the Glock into the conversation. And she did. And
Todd, are they this dim? Did they not notice the fact that she said strap on at least six times? And asked, what do we want to strap on? I mean, I can't believe these are full grown adults. I mean, what have they lived in a cave?
Well,
or do they just not want to be accused of having minds as dirty as the maggots?
I just can't. You know, the more you play that, the more, because I saw it like earlier and everything. And then hearing again, once again, that brings me back to 1920s Klan. You know, this embrace of right-wing Christianity and guns and violence to exact power in the way you want it, in the way they want it. You know, damn everybody else. And that's exactly, they used a white woman dressed in like these white flowing caftan type thing. And, it's just looking there. And see, the thing with Tom Cotton, okay, so once again, if those rioters and disruptors and conspirators against the United States on January 6th. If those had been black folk, they would have just been shot dead on sight.
Yeah.
No question.
And one more thing about this pearl clutching and hand wringing about getting your elderly parent to the hospital. This is a world with GPS in it. Okay? There's when you leave your house in suburban wherever, and you can look on your GPS and it'll generally have a little icon there to tell you that there's a traffic disturbance or traffic isn't moving. And so you can reroute.
Well, you're a thinking person. You know, people like us, we were like, oh, wait a minute. I'm about to take a long trip. Let me open up this fancy phone I'm paying for every month. And most highways now, like believe it or not, South Carolina, oh my God, their website's excellent. All the highway cameras. And it will show you, even before you blow up, it will show you where the accidents are on the main cameras. And then you can zoom in, like, oh, not, don't take that route, this activity. But like you're saying, in the GPS, it'll show yellow, red, road work. Like, yeah. They announced there was going to be a protest. And it's like, okay, so I won't take the bridge this morning. You know that the night before. You know, some things are important. Like, you know, I've been to protest. I don't do it anymore, but you know,
I've done my fair share. I have.
You know, we did when we were young. We did a lot of stuff. It was exciting, but there's all. It's like a circus. Everybody should do that. You know, you got to go to a real protest. Because it's like, and then if you read the sociology behind it, you know, it's really interesting because you got the insiders, right? The folks that are there, and then their minions. And it layers out, you know.
But it's interesting. It's interesting. It's interesting you bring up mass protests because our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties at the court have been feeling their oats. I don't know if you caught this, but they affirmed a Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling that essentially criminalizes any mass protest in what? Texas, Louisiana, or Mississippi. And it was all aimed at D. Ray McKesson, who led a number of the Black Lives Matter protests, and in particular one in Louisiana, where somebody who was not D. Ray McKesson, who basically organized the protest after the police killing of a black man in, I think, Baton Rouge, but somebody in the crowd threw a rock and it hit a cop and the cop got hurt. And so the Supreme Court have upheld the idea of imposing liability on one individual who had no control, who didn't direct it, because they really, you know, the maggots really want to silence.
Oh, shit. I didn't hear about this. They directed all of it, all the animus, all the legal animus, they directed toward McKesson?
Yeah. And he's a good man.
That's the guy with the vest. He always wore the vest.
The Supreme Court effectively abolishes the right to mass protest in three U.S. states, Louisiana, Mississippi, Texas. It was McKesson versus Doe, and they elected not to hear it, so that means the lower court ruling stays in place.
Roxanne, I didn't anticipate this discussion. But I fear the creeping of the fascist state, because now the court is like a python now. They are strangling. I see it now. Clarence Thomas and his wife, they're corrupt. Everybody sees it. Sotomayor, she's already said out loud, she's so unhappy. You can only imagine.
Well, she issued the dissent in this case. And pointed out that the majority were entirely in the wrong, because the court held as recently as 2023 in Counterman versus Colorado that the First Amendment precludes
punishment for inciting violent action unless the speaker's words were intended, not just likely, to produce imminent disorder. And then NAACP versus Claiborne Hardware from 1982 says protest leaders can't be held liable for the violent actions of a protest participant, absent extenuating circumstances that were not present in Baton Rouge at the protest over the police slaughter of Alton Sterling.
That whole thing was fishy.
But I mean, you know damn well,
I am not a lawyer.
Yeah, our most puissant, dread sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties want the black folk to shut the fuck up.
No, but wait a minute. This shit doesn't... Let me stop. On the face of it, number one, just I'm a layperson when it comes to law, but I'm pretty good at logic. How in the world... And I understand, like, it's going to trickle down. Maybe that's why. Maybe. Can this be found illegal in certain states, but not others? Number one. Number two, this sounds like the quelling and quelching of free speech. Because according to the citation from that you cited from Sotomayor, it clearly says unless you're inciting violence. You know, basically you're allowed to shout, you know, state your opinion like, I don't know, protest. They just don't like what they're saying.
Well, and even one of the members of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in dissent said, this stinks, because this means that if there's a completely peaceful protest, say Black Lives Matter, and no one's doing anything illegal, then a Klansman can show up, throw a rock in counter-protest, and the liability goes on to the organizer of the protest that was peaceful. These people, these maggots are so transparently fascist. Their ideas are so horrible that they cannot bear the scrutiny of protest. Now, as far as the Golden Gate and Bay Bridge protests are concerned, Matt in San Francisco says they blocked both. The alternate to the Golden Gate Bridge is the Bay Bridge and vice versa. So there are some pissed off people. And the rich folk live in Marin County, so now you pissed off Karen. Matt says, I've protested many times, blocked traffic on Market Street a few times. I can imagine you may have, Matt. You had damn good reason to. I just can't get behind blocking bridge traffic. I mean, yeah, it makes the news, but nobody likes traffic. I think that's inherent, and I think that's inherently dangerous to the protesters. And I remember, what was it? Was it during Occupy Wall Street? That when they started to walk across a bridge is when the iron fist finally came down, and that was basically the end of Occupy Wall Street.
The
one thing you do not want to do is give the other side an opportunity to completely silence your voice.
Right. Well, this is why I brought up that there's a compromise here. This is what I'm saying. Like, because Philadelphia is known. I mean, I grew up around all this stuff. I grew up with Move. What happens is that you let the protesters take up part of the street. And then, you know, two lanes of cars might not be able to get, they won't be able to get by. Maybe one lane. And you have to use another street. And everybody's happy. They get to get their word out. People get a little slower, but you can take another route. So this is not impossible. This is not. Like a lot of other shit. They want to make you think like, oh, we just can't. No, there's always a way. Most of the time, I'm not going to be absolutist. Most of the time, there's a way. And it did. Police get out there. They put the little horse, you know, the saw horses out. Or whatever they use different things now. It's not complicated. I mean, that's doable. But when they continue to suppress to this level, and now, I don't know what they're just getting ready. So they're just gonna let Trump through, but he won't be around. So it's going to be something's burning around here. Jesus, I don't smell something. It's going to end up being Nikki Haley and Rick Scott, because that ticket could win. For the GOP.
Well, ironically, as Mike in Cascadia just pointed out, At the same time that the Supreme Court is okaying the complete suppression of protest in Mississippi, Louisiana, and Texas, they're also on the verge of turning loose about 350 of the domestic terrorists who engaged in insurrection on January the 6th. And there's a quote from Fappy Thomas.
Well, there have been many violent protests that have interfered with our proceedings. Has the government applied this provision to other protests in the past, and has this been the government's position throughout the lifespan of the statute?
And the fact that he's even on a case touching upon January the 6th is an offense to any concept of justice in the first place, because his wife was actively involved in fomenting that insurrection.
And he is actively involved. Let's not forget, because he is dealing with subterfuge. And see, and we can prove this because he, under his own volition, put out a video attempting to show how down to earth and homegrown he was, and riding around in an RV. And he kept saying, this is what I really like to do. And then we find out, oh, what you really like to do is take like super, super exclusive, like shit almost nobody on this planet can do. These super yachts to these private islands. That's what you really like to do. So what you engaged in was propaganda. That fucker has to go. He and his wife. And I guarantee she's hooked up. Can't you see her talking with Sidney Powell? Can't you see that?
At the risk of being wrong, Helen Keller could see that.
What's going to become of us?
And there's the million-dollar question.
And you know what? The Biden administration, despite all this bullshit, has been, they got us out of the pandemic. They got people working again. It's the price gouging. And they don't like it. It's the price gouging. But, you know. Well, oh boy. Well, I don't know what to say except, Gino, thanks a lot.
We got 240 to go. Thank you, Gino. And Todd, you have a wonderful evening. It's
and
it's
you
time.
Too, my friend.
It's time. You gotta get the smoker going. It's time to make barbecue.
It is. I was thinking about that the other day. It's warming up. It's finally warmed up here. Yeah. Well, look,
it was nice being outside around the smoker on Saturday night. Perfect weather. Well, you take care.
Well, you described that. Yeah. You know what? Spring is here, and I'm so glad that you're not suffering SAS anymore.
Here, here. I mean, I think just right now is sunset. Sunset was 8:03 p.m. today, and we just crossed to 8:04. So that, yeah, I'm gonna be a much happier girl.
That's what's up. All right. I'll talk to you later.
Take care, Todd. Thanks for the call. Bye.
You too.
Todd, the sage of South Carolina, Stan, father of the "he ain't gonna make it" theory. And Gino says the April challenge, keep the challenge going tomorrow. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Gino, so much. And for the overnight crew, 240. And we're actually caught all the way up to today and a little bit into tomorrow, if that happens. Thank you, Gino. Thanks, Lou. I segued to making phone calls for my candidate. I'll go back to listen to any response you may have had to the elves and the powerful law firm that represents them if the podcast comes through. Oh, damn it. Oh, fainting with damn praise, Lou. If the podcast comes through. The podcast will come through, Lou, if I have to put it on a pony ridden by a Keebler elf. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for our PayPal and Patreon and U.S. Postal Service subscribers. Thank you to our challenge makers. Gino, that's you. Ralphs, thank you. Thanks to the respondents. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks for zapping brain there, Roger. Much obliged. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live, whose dinner I ruined this evening. Sorry. It's not like it's the first time. Please like and subscribe to the podcast. Really, sincerely, subscribe on a couple of different platforms. And that way you'll make sure that it comes through. Podbean's a good one, and then subscribe at Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or wherever else you like. Podcast Republic, Odyssey. Leave a comment here and there. It helps to grow the program. God, our numbers for April are going to be in the cellar under the basement. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 25 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe, everybody. Keep an eye out for when you get your next booster. You want that, because you don't want COVID. Wear your mask when you're around the maggots, because they're a grunting, barking, hooting bunch of disease spreaders. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance as best you can. And if Carrie Lake comes towards you saying, "What else should we strap on?" Well, avoid her like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Wayne and Gina, it's all for you. Later.